Morning. How's everyone this morning? Yeah, liking the snow? How many of you like the snow? Yeah? How many are like, ugh? Yeah, I know. I mean, the snow is pretty when you're like inside looking at it and or skiing on it, but driving in it, no. I told my husband this morning, we live in Willard, so we have to go over, you know, Sardine Canyon. I said, today I'm going to be your passenger princess. You're driving. So thankful for him. He loves it. He's like, bring it on. It's a challenge. I like driving in the snow. Anyway, enough of that. So my name is Johanna. I am the Connections Discipleship Pastor here at New Life Fellowship. And I'm excited to bring to you the word this morning. It's going to be from, like Dane said, Isaiah 9:6. And yes, so today is the first Sunday of Advent. We are officially in Christmas season. Yay, right? Like, it is okay now. You can put up your Christmas tree and nobody's going to look at you sideways now. And your decorations, all of that, it's awesome. I love this time of year. It's so fun. It's just festive. I don't know what it is about lights that just make you feel good, but when you look at Christmas lights, it's just like, huh, you know, like, why don't we leave them up year-round? I have no idea. Maybe some of you do, but yes, so it's Christmas. We are already in the season of decorating. We decorate our homes. We've decorated the church. We start doing shopping. Maybe you guys did a lot of Black Friday shopping this last week and weekend, and you're getting everything ready. You're throwing parties. You're buying presents, right? You're spending time with family and friends. It's a whole month-long party of fun, joy, festivities, eating, and all of that. And it can also bring stress and busyness, right? So what Advent is Advent is helping us be intentional in saying, okay, let's take a big, deep breath, and let's remember what this season is all about, right? Advent is us remembering why Jesus came as a baby boy, why he came in the first place, and then it's also us looking with hope and anticipation for his future coming, because he is coming again. And so that's what Advent does. It helps us just to focus on Jesus, his birth, that he is the promised Messiah, and that he is coming again. It's time to reflect on what it means for us this time of year. We like to give presents because we know that the best present of all was given to us in Jesus Christ, and he came as a baby, and so that's what we do. So this is what we're in. We're entering this season of Christmas. But also, as it is a season of joy and fun and laughter, it can also be a hard season for some of us. I get that. Some of us might be dreading it because it's like life has happened. Jesus did come into a messy world, and it is still messy. And so we have grief. Some of us might be dreading this season because we're missing someone this year. Like, we lost someone this year. They won't be with us during the holidays. Maybe it's that you have a blended family. I had a blended family. Most of my kids are older, but when my kids were younger, it was hard this time of year because you had to share. You had to work around everything. You had to make the most of every moment you have, and that can cause conflict. That can cause stress, right? Maybe you have conflicts right now in your family, and bringing everybody together under one roof is kind of like scary, right? And you're like, I don't want to do it. But you want to do it, but you don't want to do it. It can cause stress because we're buying presents and we may not have a lot of money, and we want to make sure everybody's happy with the presents. I mean, if you are like me, like some moms out there, it's like thinking about buying presents can be like this love-hate relationship. Like, I really want to bless my kids and I want to buy these presents, but it is so stressful, right? You're like, okay, were they going to like it? Is it going to fit? You know, I think nowadays we just like, here's a gift card. Go get what you want, right? But I get it. And I know that Christmas can be stressful. And I know that some of us might even want to feel that joy, want to feel that happiness. And we feel like we should. And so sometimes we carry a little bit of guilt and shame because we don't. And so today we're going to look at how Jesus is our wonderful counselor and how during this season he comes in and he comes alongside us and he's there for us in the good and the bad. So if you open up your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9, we are going to focus on this verse that is talks about the four names that Jesus is that he is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. What we're going to do today, though, is before we read that verse, we're going to read the verses leading up to it so we can kind of get a better understanding of what is going on in the nation of Israel at this time when Isaiah penned these words. It's a poem, it's a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. So will you read with me starting in verse 2 of chapter 9? It says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is a prophecy that is foretelling the future king, a future Messiah that would come and bring light in a darkness. At the time when Isaiah wrote this, the nation of Israel was in a crisis. A little bit of history: King David, he had a son, Solomon. Solomon ruled. After Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. 10 tribes went and did their own thing, and that is called the nation of Israel. And 2 tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, stayed and had the line of David as their kings. And so they were split from that time on. And at this time when Isaiah is writing it, they're still split. And he's speaking to both nations, the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, because they both were not really doing what they were supposed to do. And God had sent many prophets to warn them, hey, repent and turn, or this is what's going to happen. And so at this time, the nation of Israel was in a crisis. They were politically unstable, they were spiritually rebellious, and they were facing threats from surrounding nations. At this time, the nation of Israel was about to be captured, the 10 tribes of Israel. 2 of them had already been captured, and they were. It was the Assyrian Empire who was coming over to take over and conquer them. God's people were experiencing oppression, as we read in these passages. They were experiencing oppression, fear, darkness, and captivity. So when Isaiah says that they are walking in darkness, it means literally and spiritually, because they were oppressed. They were oppressed by the surrounding nations, and they were oppressed by their sin, and they were far from God. You see, God had chosen Israel. He chose them to be set apart from all other nations. When he took them out of slavery from Egypt, and he took them into the wilderness, on their way to the promised land, there through Moses, he established a covenant with them. And he said to them that, "I will be your God. I will be your king. I will be your ruler. I will take care of you if you trust me, if you obey me and you follow me." But as we read, we know that Israel did not. Time and time again, they chose to look to human solutions instead of trusting God. They asked for earthly kings. They wanted to put their hope in them. They made alliances with other nations. They trusted their own military strength instead of relying on God. And they turned to idols and worshiped man-made things instead of the living God. They rejected the word of God and his counsel and his guidance and his wisdom, and instead turned to fortune tellers and false spiritualists and wanted their guides and their help. All these poor choices led them to where they are at this time, in darkness, in fear. They're broken, they're lost, they're spiritually blind, and they're far from God. Yet in this dark setting, in this moment, God speaks through Isaiah, through a prophet, and he promises them hope. He tells them that they are in darkness, but just wait. Light is about to come. I'm about to break through this darkness and bring you light, and that light would be in the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 contains prophecies about the coming Messiah, a future king who would rule with justice and truth and bring about that true peace. God is saying to the people at this time that even though you have created this darkness through your poor choices, by turning away from me, by not trusting in me, I am still faithful and I'm still going to send you a great light. And this light is in the future king who will be born of a baby, both human and God. And he will be called your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. You see, the kings that Israel chose, the earthly human kings that Israel and Judah had chosen, had failed them. They did not lead well. They gave poor guidance and counsel. They were powerless in war. They had not been good fathers, and they did not bring about peace and prosperity. But Isaiah brings them hope. He says, I will bring a king. Through Isaiah brings hope by telling them that God would bring them a king from the line of David, a godly king, the perfect ruler. And we know that this prophecy was fulfilled many years later in the person of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:23, it says this, Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then in Luke 1, 30 through 35, this is what it said to Mary from the angel. He said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then later on, as an adult, Matthew points out in his gospel that Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy as the light of the world. In Matthew 4, 13 through 17, it says this, As Jesus, who as an adult, was leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that there was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are just a few of the many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled during his first coming. Most scholars believe that during Jesus' first coming, he fulfilled around 300 Old Testament prophecies. So I think we can say with certainty that Jesus is that future Messiah that was prophesied by Isaiah, that Jesus is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So today we're going to look at how Jesus is our wonderful counselor. First and foremost, I think in order to do this, we have to understand, as we read from these scriptures from in Matthew and Luke, that Jesus is both God, he is divine, and he is human. He is born of a woman. You see, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, making him fully God, yet he was formed in a human womb, carrying Mary's DNA, which makes him fully human. This is what makes Jesus wonderful, right? The Hebrew word wonderful actually comes from the root word miracle, which is extraordinary, something that is hard to understand. It's a marvelous thing. Jesus had a miracle birth. It was a wonderful birth. It was unlike any other birth before him or after him. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit because he is the Son of God. That makes him wonderful. But he's also our counselor. He's our advisor. He's our ruler. He is the perfect guide. Jesus is the perfect counselor because he is both fully God and fully human. As God, his counsel is wise, it's eternal, it's trustworthy, it's true. And as a human, his counsel is that he understands us, he relates, he gets us, he empathizes with us. You see, Jesus Christ is the ultimate wonder, uniting divine nature and human need. In Hebrews 4:14 through 15, this is what is said about Jesus. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus is the divine. He is the ideal, perfect counselor for us when we need him most. Counselors, right? What are counselors? What do counselors do? Counselors are trained professionals, right? We go to them when we need help, when we are needing some guidance, right? They listen to us. They provide a safe place for us. They offer advice. They provide solutions. They bring comfort. They bring clarification. They guide and they support. These are all really good, and I fully support going to a good, godly counselor who teaches a biblical worldview. I myself have benefited from counseling, and my kids have, so counselors are great. But today, I want us to look at how Jesus comes alongside us and is our perfect, wonderful counselor, and how he can help us in our darkest moments. Because as Isaiah prophesied, he is the light of the world. He is the light that breaks through the darkness. So first off, how is Jesus our wonderful counselor? Jesus empathizes with our needs. You see, because Jesus was fully human, he knew exactly what it was like to be human. He felt pain, emotional pain and physical. Jesus went hungry. Jesus cried. Jesus mourned. He was tempted. Jesus was abused. He was misunderstood. Jesus was rejected. Isaiah 53:3 says this about Jesus, that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In Hebrews 2:18, it says this, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And Paul says this about Jesus in Philippians 2:6-8. He says this, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus didn't just come into this world to observe us, to observe humanity. He became human. He suffered and he died. When we come to Jesus with our problems, our hurts, our pain, he doesn't get impatient or frustrated or annoyed. He gets it, so he leans in. He knows. He has empathy. He understands. Empathy right now can be a trigger word for some, mainly because it can be overused or misinterpreted. But empathy is not condoning, excusing, or enabling someone's bad behavior. Empathy does not excuse sin. Empathy is just something that helps us see people clearly. We get it. We understand where people are so we can help them, so we can minister to them. You see, Jesus had compassion. He had empathy, and that never replaced truth. In fact, his compassion helped people to receive the truth. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he knew where she was at. He knew that she had been married multiple times, was living with somebody that she was not married to. He didn't come and judge her. He came and met her where she was at. He loved her and offered her himself, saying, "I am the living water. I am the thing that you are thirsting for. I am the Messiah." Jesus, when he came upon Mary and Martha after their brother had died, he empathized with him. He wept with them. He cried with them. But then he gave them hope. And he said, "Have faith in me." You ever have that friend that just sits there with you, a friend that, like, when you are at your lowest of lows, you're crying so hard, that cry that, like, you can't take any breath, snot's coming out your nose everywhere, and you have that friend that's just sitting there patting you, wiping your nose, being a good friend? That's Jesus. He's just right there with you. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of it. He's not disgusted by it. He's that friend that sits there with you, grieving with you, helping you in your pain, but then helping you get back up on your feet again. So don't be afraid to go to Jesus with all your mess and all your tears. He's not afraid of it. You don't have to pretend with Jesus. You just be yourself, because he really does get you. But the good news is that he doesn't leave us there in our mess, which leads me to point two. Jesus offers true healing to our wounded hearts. You see, because Jesus is divine, he can bring true healing to what is hurting us. Isaiah prophesies this about Jesus in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. It says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." This is Jesus that he is prophesying about. And we know this because in Luke 4, 16 through 21, Jesus, as an adult, goes to his hometown of Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue on a Sunday morning, on Saturday, and he stands up and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads this exact passage of scripture that we just read. And the verse says that when he finished, he set the scroll down and he said to those who were listening, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to heal our wounds. You see, human counselors, they can diagnose, they can listen, and they can guide. And these are all great tools. But only Jesus can go deep enough to heal the root. Only Jesus can go inside us to the deepest part of us and heal those wounds from the past, the lies that we have believed, the shame that we carry, and the patterns we cannot break. You see, Jesus doesn't just treat the symptoms, he transforms the heart. He comes inside of us and makes us new. This is the essence of everything that we have talked about this last year in our theme of in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, The new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. We are no longer that way. We are this way. We are made new. We are whole. We are healed. We are complete because Jesus, our wonderful counselor, comes in and heals us. Here's a way to look at it. A few years ago, my husband Nathan, he's an avid mountaineer, mountain climber, hiker, all of that. And 2 years ago, he decided he wanted to climb Mount Tipinogos there in Salt Lake City area. And it was in the early season, and so he was climbing, and it was still ice and snow at the top, and he was almost at the summit, and he slipped, and he fell, and he broke his leg. Pretty bad. He broke both bones and was stranded up there, and it was kind of interesting. It's, you know, you'd never want to get that call, like from, you know, search and rescue. Hello, everything's okay, but your husband's stranded on the mountain and he has a broken leg. Okay. So, but anyway, they came, they got him, he got two helicopter rides out of it and a lot of good pain medicine that made him feel good, and they took him, they did emergency surgery, they took and put a titanium rod in his leg, and therefore he starts the road to recovery. It was about 3 months in. He goes, you know, he's recovering, couldn't do anything. That's like really hard for him to tell him don't do anything. But anyway, we went, and he went to his final checkup to get the clean bill of health, you know, say, okay, you're good to go, go back to your lifestyle. Well, they showed an x-ray, and in the x-ray, the bone was a little off, right? By like 9%. They come to find out, when they set the bone, it was off a little bit. And so they are like, well, it's just a little bit. You'll probably be fine. You know, you can't tell. You won't know anything. But maybe in about 10 years, that like off pressure will destroy your ankle and we'll, you know, have to come in and do an ankle replacement. Well, no, like that was not what he decided. So they had to go back in, take the rod out, re-break the bone, straighten it, put the new rod in, and he's good to go, another 3 months of recovery. But the lesson is that sometimes we have some little offset emotional damage, right? Bones, broken bones inside of us. We think we're okay. We're getting through life. The symptoms aren't that bad until one day somebody says something and you're like, plach, you know, and you blow apart and you're like, where did that come from, right? But it's because we need to let God come in, Jesus come in, our wonderful counselor. Let him do all of that healing work to heal those bones that are just off a little bit so that we can be healthy, happy, and whole, because that's what he wants to do for us. And Jesus never rushes the process. He heals with tenderness and truth, because that's what makes him the wonderful counselor. Number three, point three, Jesus counsels us with his presence. Right after Jesus' resurrection and right before he ascended into heaven, he spoke these words to his followers in Matthew 28:20. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I gave this sermon in the first service, and afterwards, Pastor Dane, you know, he's like, hey, I got a great illustration for you on this point, so I'm going to take it on. I'm going to take his idea. But anybody ever seen that movie, What About Bob? It's from the 1900s, so some of you, but it's quite funny, but it's about this guy who's like obsessed, you know, with his counselor, and he can't, like, he always wants to be in his presence, he follows him everywhere, he goes with him to his family vacations, his family loves him, but his counselor's like, leave me alone, right, like, give me some space. It's quite a funny movie, but this is what's different about Jesus. He doesn't care if you invade his space, right? He's always there. Because Jesus is fully God, he pours his Holy Spirit upon us, giving us his presence at all times, and he's glad to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be with us. He's always present. What does this look like? It means he leads our steps. He guides us. He gives us that peace that passes all understanding when we need it in our confusion, in our doubt. He brings clarity in the chaos. He reminds us of what he taught. You see, Jesus isn't just a counselor you go to and visit, get your fix, and then leave. No, he is a counselor who dwells within us. He is with us. He doesn't just give us advice. He gives us himself. He wants to have that relationship with us. His guidance will often come to us through that peace, through that guards our hearts, through the whisper of his Holy Spirit. His presence and guidance comes to us when we're reading his word and it comes alive to us and we're like, wow, this is just what I needed. That's how he speaks to us, is through his word. It comes, his presence comes and his guidance comes to us when we are all gathered together like this, a community of believers, lifting up our voices in worship to him and learning from his word. And that peace and that guidance and that presence comes in those still moments where we just be quiet and we listen and we feel him and we know he's with us. You see, Jesus' presence communicates, you're not facing this alone. You're not alone. He's with you. He lives inside of you. He has that, he wants that relationship with you. He wants us to come to him, to be still in his presence. You see, people will come and go in our life. People, we have friendships that start, and we have friendships that end. Some on a good note, some on a bad note. We have people that will let us down, but Jesus is faithful. Again, he will never push us away. He wants us to be with him at all times. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is constant. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. We can come to him and place all of our hopes, our fears, our insecurities in him and know that he will be with us always. His word promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time. So today, I want to ask you, wherever you're at in your faith journey, I just pray that today that you would know, that you would leave today, whatever you have that you're facing after today, whether it's some, you know, driving in the snow, the fear that comes with that, the dread of the holidays, or just the sadness, the grief of losing someone that you love. Or maybe you have that prodigal son that you've been praying for, a daughter or child or friend, and you've been praying for him, and you're just like, when? I just pray today that you would leave and know that you have the most amazing, miraculous, wonderful counselor, Jesus. That he gets it. He gets where you're at. He knows where you're at this very moment. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's hurting you, what's troubling you, what's causing that fear, what's causing that doubt. He empathizes with you. Jesus is that wonderful counselor that just wants to come right alongside of you, and he wants to heal you. He wants you to reveal to him, to let him into all those broken, ugly, messy places, because he says, I want to come in and I want to heal it and I want to restore it and I want to give you the joy and the peace that you so long for. And he wants to come and guide you with his presence. So don't shut him out. Just open your heart to him today, to let the wonderful counselor come into your life. Will you bow your heads with me? I think of this season, and I think how there's highs and there's lows, not just during this season, but in the season of all, in all of our lives, that we have these moments where we feel so close to God, and then there's these moments where we wonder, where are you? And when we read through the Psalms, we can see that David, the man after God's own heart, experienced these two. He had moments where he was dancing before the Lord with joy, with all of his might. And then there were moments where he was like pouring out his soul before God. He felt alone and betrayed. And it's in those moments, one of those low moments, that in Psalm 40, he writes these words: I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. God is there. God is near. And so today I just want to pray for you that if you are in a place of joy, I say, praise God. Thank God that you are in this high moment, this moment where you are just, thank you, God, for all of your blessings. But maybe you're in this moment where you're like, I want the joy. I want to go into this season of Advent feeling joy and happiness, but it's not there. So today I pray for you. I pray, oh, Holy Spirit, come upon them. May they open their hearts to receive you, Jesus, their wonderful counselor. May they know without a doubt how loved and how valuable they are. May they experience healing and reconciliation and peace. Lord, I just pray that if someone is here today and they have never surrendered their life to you, but they today want to say, Lord, I give my life to you. I let you into my heart. I let you into all the messy places, and I let you in as my Savior, as my Lord. And I ask you to heal me from myself, heal me from my pain, heal me from my past. Heal me from my sins. And I pray, Lord God, that they would open their heart to you today. They would receive you. And they would accept you, Lord, as their wonderful counselor, as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we come to you today with such grateful hearts. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we get to worship you. We ask this all in your precious holy name, the name, the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus.